Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. I'm going to be talking to you, particularly next week, about the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. In that, we're going to look at the glory of God from its first being introduced to us in the Word of God into its future manifestation in the church. The glory of God is the presence of God manifested. Now, as I taught on this subject, the glory of God, and I shared with you how the Lord led me to study that as Kenneth Hagin studied the glory. I even saw visions. And today I'm going to tell you about one of those visions if I get to it, if not tomorrow. I spoke to you a little bit about the pre-Adamic civilization, and you can find out more about it in my book, The Blood and the Glory. Also in Brother Hagin's book, The Triumphant Church. But in reading the Bible itself, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Genesis 1:2, "And the earth was without form and void." Those words in the Hebrew are terrible words. It says the earth was tohu va bohu, or it became tohu va bohu. Tohu means formless, confusion, unreality, emptiness, chaos, and waste. I don't believe God created it like that. I can't believe it came to be like that. I believe that what brought it into that state was the fall of Lucifer. Now, whether or not you believe in a pre-Adamic civilization doesn't matter. You surely don't have to believe it to go to heaven. But it helps to me to understand about Lucifer. He did rebel. You have to know that. Everyone, we all agree on that, that there was a rebellion so great that it split the angelic hosts. We've known of church splits, but that was something great. An angelic host split. One third of the angels in heaven went with him. Or one third of the angels, wherever they were, went with him. It was a revolt against God led by the most beautiful being God had ever created. At that time, the archangel Lucifer. The following passage describes him and the beauty of his creation. This is Ezekiel 28:12-15. "Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." This is not a being with a belly button that was born to a father and a mother. This is a created being. It's Lucifer. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountains of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." Now this I'm reading from my book on page 26. Where did the iniquity originate? To meet the criteria for God's handiwork, perfect and glorious. The Bible tells us everything God makes is perfect, everything he makes is glorious. The beings he designed to work with him must contain a certain thing. That thing is dangerous to its creator. But his created beings would be nothing more than puppets without it. That thing is a free will. God is not a creator of Pinocchios, or even of marvelous-looking humanoid creatures programmed by microchips to worship and obey him without fail. Indeed, worship is only meaningful when the worshiper wills to worship. Obedience can bring God pleasure only when the obeyer chooses to obey. One's will is his chooser. With it, he makes the choices which determine his eternal destiny. You have one. Did you choose Jesus? Did you choose to obey him today? Did you choose to lie, to steal? Did you choose to hate? Did you choose to gossip? You did all that with your chooser.
Your will.
God gave Lucifer, as he gave all the angels, a free will in the day of his creation. Lucifer must have used it to worship and please God for some measure of eternity. We don't know what. How long, the Bible does not reveal. But it does reveal that he was the very first to turn his will against the Father's. And it caused his fall. How did he fall? How did it happen? The following passage begins with those questions apparently asked by the kings of nations whom Satan had deceived. Isaiah 14, 9 and 10. And this is the answer to those kings. Or here's their question. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And here is the answer, Isaiah 14, 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer's five treasonous I wills reveal much. I will ascend into heaven. His kingdom was in a place from which he had to go up to carry out his rebellious plan. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Lucifer had a throne, and therefore a kingdom. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. This describes the place of God's throne. Lucifer was after the throne of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. The atmosphere of Lucifer's kingdom included clouds, clouds he would surmount in an attempt to exalt his throne. Many Bible scholars agree that his kingdom was here on earth. It was the world that then was. I will be like the Most High. All this entails, we do not know. But his later temptation of Jesus reveals that he wanted to receive rather than to give worship. He mounted an attack upon the very heavens, the throne of God, heaven of heavens. There was a real Star Wars. Lucifer deceived even some of the angels and led an organized revolt against the Most High God. What was the outcome? Jesus told us. Luke 10:18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I believe Lucifer's rebellion so angered God that he removed himself from the environs of earth, sending it into a chaotic wasteland covered with dark waters. Now, I believe, as I've already told you, that there was a span of time between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and that the waters became so dark and horrid upon that earth because God removed his presence from it. You can see more about it in my book. However, you don't have to believe that. Now, I'm not dogmatic about it, not at all. But throughout the intervening span of time, you do have to know those dark waters were there somehow, even if you don't believe in a pre-Adamic civilization. The waters were dark. The waters were chaotic. Throughout the intervening span of time between the Bible's first and second verses, earth lay beneath dismal waters in a dark, stark contrast to the glorious perfection of the rest of creation. What did the angels think about the one dark spot in God's otherwise perfect order of things? Did they just ignore it? Did they talk about it? I mention the angels because the Holy Spirit brought them to my attention as he taught me about the glory. He showed me they were watching things when God did what he did in Genesis 1:2. They knew it was about to change. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Did the angels spread the news? Did they say, something's going on there? The Holy Spirit's moving upon the dark spot. They heard God's first words and watched their glorious fulfillment. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God was not commanding the sun and the moon to become. They didn't come forth until the fourth day, in the order of things as we know them now. God was talking about the light of himself. In essence, this included God's returning light and life to earth. He will work there himself. In God's work week, he established a new order of things. He separated the waters. He called forth the seed that was in the earth. He did not create new plant life, verses 11 and 12. He called forth what was in the earth. He set the sun, the moon, the stars. He created new animal life. His work progressed in divisions. He called the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, and then the sixth day, the most angel astonishing day of all, I heard his voice within my spirit when he spoke to me about the sixth day. I did not do this in a corner. All were watching when I stepped to center stage and made a declaration which rocked all creation as it reverberated from the regions of glory to the regions of the damned. The words of Genesis 1:26 took on a new tone. My heart could hear it in loud, deliberate words as they may have been called out across the wide expanses of creation. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And then I heard, what is a man? What is a man? What is a man? Angelic questions may have resounded in response to the startling news. One angel even dared to ask the Creator, we are told. Psalm 8 records this question. We know these are the words of an angel. The New Testament tells us so in Hebrews 2, 5 and 7. It said, one angel said in a certain place. A few commentators say it might be Satan, but I don't think so. I believe this is more of a Peter-type angel, daring to ask what others were wondering. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I believe this angel was led to articulate the question for our enlightenment. In whatever way it occurred, God chose to record the angelic inquiry in his holy word in Psalm 8, 3 through 6. The angel said, tomorrow, tune in and find out what the angel said. Today, I'm offering you my book where we go into these things. What is the glory of God? What does it mean that the church will be filled with the glory of God? That's the subject of our seminar that we're doing now in Osage Beach. Now, if you want my book, The Blood and the Glory, and Brother Hagin's book, The Triumphant Church, call us at 1-800-972-3447. You can have both books for $18. That's a reduction of $5. $18 plus shipping. 1-800-972-3447. Billy Brim's The Blood and the Glory. We're emphasizing the glory. And Brother Hagin's The Triumphant Church Dominion Over All the Powers of Darkness. This is Billy Brim saying to you, be sure, everything you do to the glory of God, dear glorious brothers and sisters. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. And this is Billy Brim saying shalom until tomorrow.